how it lights my path, how it guides my way.
And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are letting your bondservant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to the mother Mary, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and is a sign to be opposed, and a sword will pierce your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage. And then, as a widow to the age of 84, she did not leave the temple grounds, serving night and day with fasts and prayers. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak about him to all those who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel.
Debs, would you like to come up? I'm going to ask Bruce to pray for you, Debs.
Father God, we do thank you so much for Debbie, for all the wisdom and knowledge that you've planted within her, that she brings to us so often. We do pray that you will open people's hearts and minds to receive your word today as Debbie brings it. May this be a word which will really stir people and bring your Holy Spirit afresh into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and thank you, everybody, for praying for me. I'm very, very grateful for all the prayers and blessings of people in this congregation. It's a good moment to say that, isn't it? And yes, you don't know how important you all are in different ways, all the different contributions that you make, not only to the Lord, but talking personally from myself. Very precious people. And at the start of the new year, you know, I look around the room and I think about this coming year in 2026. I think about where the Lord wants to lead us on as a congregation. And I think about the different journeys that are represented in this room. And with some of you, I've walked very closely in those journeys for parts of it. And for others, perhaps less so. But you're in my heart, you're in my prayers. And I do believe that the Lord wants to continue to draw us together and to teach us how to be a body together who can be more and more effective together, not only in this local community, it is about this local community, but actually in the wider and the bigger purposes of God. He's got something for us to do, and each and every one of us has a contribution to make to that. Whatever our age and whatever our experience, however long we've been walking with the Lord, he's got something for each of us to bring into that. And my prayer and my hope this morning is that the Lord will start to shine his light in a fresh way into our hearts and into our relationship with him. He'll shine his light to show us more clearly what it is that he wants us to do. Because that's what this passage is all about, really, that I've chosen for our new year together. We will be returning to our Ichthus passages next week, and we're going through a journey in which gospel, do you remember? John, well done, Terry. He's there. We're going through John's Gospel, so we'll return to that after our kind of Christmassy break. But today I wanted to sort of stay, if you like, in the Christmas passages and think about this part of the story from Jesus. It's still his very early days. This is Jesus' dedication day. How many of you were dedicated as a baby or something similar or equivalent? Lots of you? Most of you, not everybody, had that joy and that privilege. How many of you have dedicated your own children to the Lord or something similar? Yes, lots of hands there. This is a wonderful moment, isn't it? It's good to remember that Jesus went through that experience himself. He was taken by his parents for a dedication day up at the temple in Jerusalem. And this wonderful thing occurs, this wonderful encounter with these two important people, Simeon and Anna. And I'm going to read the story to us again, just to keep it in our hearts, because I just want to bring out some things. There is so much that could be said from this story, so many applications to make. And if I'm honest, my mind and my heart is still racing with all of the different applications that I could bring before you today. But I felt at the heart of it all, and as the Lord guides us into what he is wanting to say by his Spirit, at the heart of it all for me as I was reading this is this simple question, in a way. At the start of 2026, what is in your heart? What is in your heart? Some of us love those kind of questions, and others of us perhaps don't relate to them very well. I was just reminded of a friend of mine, and he's not a believer, but I remember we were having a conversation with some people, and there was a mix of Christians and non-Christians in the room, and for some reason we were talking about how sometimes when you wake up in the morning and you're singing a particular song, it might be a worship song, or it might not be, it might be something that you heard on the radio, or something that you've been singing along to from secular music, but lots of people have that experience. You know, they have a soundtrack to life, don't they, that's kind of going on. And you might wake up with something. And we were having this kind of conversation. And I remember, because of my Christian language that flows so naturally to me, I turned to this friend of mine who's not a believer. And I was like, do you wake up with a song in your heart? and he was just like, I don't even know what you mean. What do you mean in my heart? So, and that phrase, what's in your heart? Is there a song in your heart? Made no sense to him at all. So there might be some of you who are thinking, I don't relate to that question. But actually, as we read this passage again, think about what is said about the heart in the heart of this passage. So Luke 2, verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, and he was looking for the consolation of Israel. That meant that he was looking and praying and longing for the hope of a savior to come, for the Christ to come to Israel as had been promised. That's what he was looking for, and for deliverance from the oppression, particularly of the Roman authorities that were around in that time. And it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, before he had seen the answer, the hope of Israel. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him into his arms and he blessed God and said, now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rise of many in Israel and for a sign to be opposed. And a sword will pierce even your own soul, to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayers. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Two amazing characters who bless Jesus and who are moved by the Holy Spirit to notice and recognize the significant thing that was happening in front of them in that moment. Are we ready to see what God is doing in front of us when the moment comes? Because this could have been a day like any other day for Simeon and Anna. Here they are in the temple. Remember, this is not happening in Nazareth where Mary and Joseph were living. It's not happening in Bethlehem where the angels have all just appeared and the shepherds have been talking about everything and there's been all kinds of news and talk about this family. It's not happening in Mary and Joseph's hometown where everybody's heard about that baby that supposedly comes from God. There's talk, there's gossip, there's knowledge, there's recognition of who these people are. This is in the big city. They've traveled up to Jerusalem. People don't know them. There's hundreds of people there doing all kinds of acts of worship, coming for all kinds of reasons into that space. It's not like coming here on a Sunday morning where people might know your face and know your name and know a bit of your story. It would be like, I don't know, going up to the biggest church in London. I don't even know which one that might be now. One of the Hillsong churches or something. Something that meets in the O2. In masses and masses of people, anonymous in a crowd. And Mary and Joseph come with their baby, just like any other couple, any other good, devout Jewish couple ought to do, with the birth of a new one, to come and bring him and dedicate him to the Lord. And they're coming in that same way. And Simeon, on that day, he is led by the Spirit. He's not a priest. He's not a worker in the temple. He's not somebody who had to be there for a particular reason. So he must have woken up on that day. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "You better get down to the temple, Simeon, because something that I'm doing is about to be revealed." And he didn't miss it. He was led. He was moved by the Spirit to be there. And he sees that baby and he knows in his own heart and spirit, this is the Christ. This is the Saviour. And he speaks out that incredible prophecy. And similarly for Anna. Anna is always there, it says. But again, she's not a Levite or a worker in the temple. She's just somebody who spends all her time there because she wants to serve the purposes of God with her life. So she comes and she goes. She's praying. She's fasting. She's calling on the Lord to bring about the things that are on his heart for his people. And in that moment, she spots that baby. And she sees what wells up from within by the Holy Spirit is thankfulness and worship and praise to God. She sees that God is on the move. How are we feeling at the start of 2026 as we gather together? Is it a day just like any other day? Or are we starting to feel the stirring of the Spirit saying, "I'm doing something. I want you to open your eyes and see what it is that I am about to accomplish, where it is that I am going." And in the middle of that passage, and in the middle of, or at the end of Simeon's prophecy over Jesus, he uses this phrase where our question comes from today. He uses this phrase about Jesus and says that because of Jesus, the thoughts from many hearts will be revealed. There is something about the coming of Jesus that brings revelation of what is actually in our hearts. There is something about Jesus coming close to us that brings the heart into focus. And it's important, I think, as Simeon uses these words of prophecy over Jesus, because you see, I think that if we were trying to make up a really good prophecy to speak out over Jesus, we might not use this phrase. We might not choose this one in this moment, might we? Let's just have a think for a moment. What great and grand and important and powerful and significant and important things we would want to say about Jesus if we saw him and we had a moment to prophesy to all the people listening. We might want to say something like, "This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Wonderful words. Wonderful prophecies. We might want to say, "This man is going to give his life for the salvation of the entire human race." We might want to say, "This man is going to live a sinless life and be utterly perfect in God's sight." We might want to say all kinds of things. "This one is the King of Kings who reigns in the heavenly places, whose throne is on high." You know, there's loads of wonderful words in Scripture, wonderful prophecies. But in this moment, and it is a significant moment, it's one of the first things that is being spoken out about who Jesus is and what he has been sent to do that we have in Scripture. We have the angel's testimony from his birth, I mean. We have lots of pre-birth prophecies. But once he's born, we've had the angels singing about some of those big and grand things. And now the first human prophecy over Jesus' life says he's going to be someone who gets your heart and brings it out into the light so that we see what's in it. The thoughts of many hearts, because of him, will be revealed. And to me, I don't know if that speaks to you about the choice of words, because the Holy Spirit inspired these words that Simeon was going to speak over him. Why did God want that to be said over Jesus in that moment? Why was that so important? That hearts would be revealed, that we would see what was in our own hearts, that we could see what was in other people's. I think it's because our hearts are far more important to God than we like to think as human beings. The inner life that we have is very, very, very important to God. The inner life is very much in focus in the work and the ministry of Jesus into our lives. It matters, in other words, what is in our hearts. It matters a lot. And we see it, actually, this phrase, if you like, if you look at it and apply it to Jesus' life and ministry, we see that he is always about our hearts. He is always trying to teach us, because human beings, we like to fall into the category, don't we, of our actions are really what matters. In fact, we live in a culture and a society that kind of says what you do in the physical world is really what is important. And what goes on in here, behind it all, is something that is private and personal and shouldn't necessarily have a massive impact. But Jesus, in his teaching, in his ministry, in his life, in his example, in his demonstration, is all the time trying to subvert that lie. He is saying your heart is where it all flows from. Yes, of course your actions matter. Yes, of course I want you to be a people of action. I want you to be a people of activism. He is the kind of God who is saying, don't just say, oh, be blessed and be filled to that person in need, but do something about it. And we take hold of that and we run with it because we love it as human beings. We love to be activists. We love to do stuff on the outside and we love other people to see the things we've done. And we love our decisions and our works and our acts to be what people judge us by and what people understand us by. and what people point to say whether we're a good person or a bad person. And all of that stuff is true and right and good, but can you see and can you think about Jesus' life and ministry that all the time he was trying to bring people back to say, stop being so concerned about what you did yesterday that everybody can see and start looking into your heart, because something is flowing out of that place, whether we like it or not, that is having an impact on this world, and I want to change it and I want to do something about it. And so he challenges them and he says, adultery isn't just about adultery, it's about what's happening in your heart to begin with when you look at that person. And murder isn't just about the murder that's committed, it's about the anger and the hatred that is there residing in the heart. It's flowed out into that action, because ultimately everything that is in the heart is going to start to flow forth and be exposed. Jesus also said, there is nothing that is hidden that will not one day be exposed and seen. There is nothing thought or said or done in secret that won't one day be brought out into the light. And so this very hidden place in our lives, this heart place, this life, the inner life, it matters to God. And he wants us to get it sorted out and cleared up and put in good order before that day when it's brought forth and all can see what was happening, what was flowing forth from that heart and that life. He is the God who says, guard your heart, because it is the very wellspring of life. Your life flows out from the state of your heart and what is in it. And if your life is going in the wrong direction, and if your life seems to be taking a wrong turn, and if your life feels that it is oppressed and difficult and troubled and troublesome, then sometimes we need to go back to the heart. Not just the circumstances, but the heart, and say, is my wellspring of life in a good and clean place? Is something flowing forth from there for me to live in that is good and healthy and clean and clear? We need to pay attention to our hearts. Your heart matters. And when I was thinking about these things, I was reminded of a story that some parents told me when I was had the privilege of being on a trip to Norway with Faith, with my mum one time, and she was leading a prayer conference there. And I spoke to this couple who were telling me about their child and how when she was about 7 years old, she had had to have an operation on her heart. And it was obviously a very scary thing. And she'd had a hole in the heart that needed correcting. And they were just telling me the story. It was a few years on and it had all gone very smoothly and she had been helped by this operation. But they told me about the night before this operation, when she was talking with them and they were praying together before the next day. And she started to talk and she was getting a bit anxious. And the parents said, her mum was saying to me, I thought she was just, you know, anxious about the operation. We tried not to make a big deal about it. I thought she was just sort of worried about what was going to happen. But suddenly she said, I've got a question, mummy. She said, when they are doing the surgery on my heart, I don't want them to cut into my heart, because what about Jesus? What will happen to him? Because Jesus lives in my heart and maybe they're going to damage him. They're going to hurt him. And she's saying, that's what I'm worried about as I go for this operation tomorrow. And it was such a beautiful, faith-filled, literal kind of picture of what she knew was true, a spiritual truth, wasn't it? That Jesus lives in her heart, but she'd taken it in that very literal way. And for her, that was all she could think about. If those surgeons open up my heart, they're going to damage Jesus' home. And you know, they're gonna find him when they look in there. It was a beautiful image, and they were able to help her to understand that Jesus would be okay and he would still be in her heart throughout that operation and beyond. And he was, and he was with her. But I was thinking about that and thinking about the beautiful challenge that it is. If our hearts were cut open, would we be as sure as that little girl that what they're going to find there is Jesus himself. I hope we do feel that sure about it. I hope it does feel that real to each and every one of us. If it doesn't, do you know the remedy is simple? The remedy is that we come right here, right now, this morning. We bring our heart to Jesus. We open it up and we say, Lord Jesus, would you please come in? Would you enter into my heart? Would you take up your residence there? Will you live in me by your Holy Spirit? We just pray that prayer and he comes and he does it. And he meets us. And if we're not sure, even if we prayed that prayer many years ago, but we still don't feel very sure if he's really in there, come now, come today, even as I'm talking, pray that prayer. Young people, you may have grown up knowing that you can invite Jesus into your heart and your life, but there's a moment that each of us can take to be sure that he's come in. We open it up, we invite him in. What is in your heart? Is Jesus there in your heart? Maybe for some of us, we know if we ask ourselves this question, what's in my heart? Maybe even now we're sort of thinking it through and honestly we know that there's all kinds of stuff in there that we know shouldn't be. Or that we know is not doing us any good. Or that we know is something negative, or that is affecting what is flowing out from our life. And Jesus wants to show us our hearts and help us to see what is in there, not to cause us shame and guilt and heaviness and embarrassment, but he wants to show us so that he can deal with the things that are in there that are getting in the way. You know, because for some of us, if we click on, our hearts are full of kind of rocky stuff, heavy things. And those heavy things are clogging up the heart so that beautiful things can't grow. We can't plant something fresh in rocky old ground. We need to get those rocks removed and turn the earth over so that something can be planted that grows and lives. And some of us, when we start to look at our hearts, we might find, oh, there's a load of rocks in there, heavy things. Jesus, would you come and take them away? Because Jesus, right from his earliest moments, is doing the work of the heart. We might find all kinds of sin in there, all kinds of pollutants, maybe even things that are deceptions, things that are wrong views of situations or people that are kind of contaminating our hearts and what flows out of them. And they need bringing up to the surface and bringing into the light and showing for what they are so we can be free of them. So that what flows forth is clean and clear. And you know what? It's not all bad news. Because I really felt the Lord was saying too, that for some of us, when we look for what's in our hearts, we're going to find some kind of hidden gemstones, if you like. Think about your heart like a deep, dark mine. Right down in the rocks there are some beautiful things that have got a bit forgotten that need to be brought forth. Maybe you've got some words down there that need to be expressed to somebody, and you think they know. You think it's all on the surface. They know how much you love them. They know how much you value and care for them. Of course they do. Every day your actions prove it. But I felt for some of us, the Lord is saying, I want you to look in your heart and discover there's some beautiful things that need digging out and bringing up to the surface so they can be seen, so they can have their impact. And I want us to just look for a moment before we close at the hearts of Simeon and Anna and what was coming forth from them. Because that's what struck me about this story and about this prophecy. And I want to mention three things and lay them before us, because maybe as we look at our own hearts, we want to ask the Lord to put some of this stuff in our hearts. Maybe it's not there, but it could be. What was in Simeon's heart? What was in Anna's heart? The first thing I want to mention from Simeon is purpose. In Simeon's heart, there was a very strong and clear sense of his purpose. Because you see, he was an old man, so we assume, because he was thinking that he might die at some time soon. And he had been looking, as we're told in verse 25, looking for the consolation of Israel, looking for the hope of Israel to come, looking for the Messiah to be revealed. He was looking and longing and praying and hoping. Actually, that verb, looking for, is very literally a word for embracing. He was not just sitting passively looking, oh, I really hope Jesus comes one day. He wasn't like that. He was opening his heart to welcome and embrace Jesus in. He was reaching forward and looking for that day to come. That's the description that we have of Simeon, someone whose heart was open to what God's purposes were going to be. And his heart was open in that way, drawing and praying. And in that place of prayer, in verse 26, we're told that it was revealed to him. He had a revelation that he would not die before he had laid his own eyes on that Christ, on that Messiah that he was hoping for. God spoke to him and gave him that revelation. Wow! What a sense of purpose. He absolutely knew that his life was important and useful in these latter years because he had a job to do. He had a moment where he needed to spot that Messiah and speak forth his prophecy when he knew he had come and recognized him. And he had been given that sense of purpose in this wonderful transaction. You know that word in verse 26 that says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. That verb is a very interesting verb in the Greek. It means like an oracle had spoken. He had been given a very clear word, if you like. And it can be used even secular terms in the Greek. It can be used for the establishing of a contract or the setting up of a business. Something was established, a business transaction took place. That's what we're saying. Simeon was in prayer, he was longing for the Saviour to come, and God did some business with him. God said, okay, you've got some prayers on your heart, I'm going to give you some revelation, I'm going to give you a purpose, I'm going to give you a promise that will be fulfilled. Before you die, you're going to see Jesus. And Simeon heard it, and it was so technical and sure and a declaration and powerful, and he knew it was going to happen, that it's talked about in those terms in the scripture. It wasn't just an airy fairy, oh, I had a sense from the Lord. Most of us, we have senses, don't we? And we get an idea about something. This was a clear, confident, sure, definite, definitive word. You're going to see Jesus before you die. And it gave him a sense of purpose. So when Simeon looked in his heart, he had purpose. He was not forgotten about. He was not useful anymore. He was not winding down. He was not moving into his retirement years or whatever. He was not defeated. He was not discouraged. He was not disappointed. He had a strong sense of what God had for him to do. And he knew it would happen before he died. And I want to lay that before us this morning. That the Lord wants some of us to open our hearts. And perhaps some of us, we look in our hearts and we don't feel a sense of purpose there. We're not sure what our life is about at this point. We're not sure whether the Lord really has things for us to do or whether the things we do matter very much to him and for his purposes. And I felt the Lord was saying, here at the beginning of 2026, open your heart and let me put some purpose in there for you. Let me speak to you about what it is I've got for you to do. Now, many of us have had many things in many seasons gone by, but now, here, for this year, Lord, what is it you want to put in my heart to do for you? And let's boil this down for a moment. We're not talking necessarily, when we look at Simeon, about some great, massive, world-changing moment that he was going to accomplish. It's not, you know, Billy Graham, you're going to stand on the stage and preach to millions of people. And we think in his lifetime, 3.2 million souls saved because of your preaching. That's a wonderful thing. He had a purpose and he fulfilled it. Or the Apostle Paul on his knees with Ananias praying, and the Lord says to him, you're going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. You are going to make that inroad outside of the Jewish people. You are going to do this great thing. Big things. But when we think about Simeon, we're not talking about that. When you boil it down, what God said to Simeon for those years was, you're going to rock up to church one day. You're going to look around. You're going to see a family who needs some encouragement, needs some blessing, who've just embarked on a massive journey in their lives, and they need somebody to speak the affirming words of God over it. You know, when you boil it down, it's quite a small thing, but it was a huge thing. How much did that matter to Mary and Joseph? I think that mattered enormously. It's one thing, you know, we always think about the angels and the supernatural shaking of the heavens stuff as the stuff that really impacts us. We do, but if we're honest, when we really think about it, we explain those things away, or they become kind of legendary tales very quickly in our past. Oh, that wonderful moment when I really encountered Jesus in that very supernatural kind of way, but it becomes almost like a, you know, story that we tell. That stuff had happened a week ago, but here's Mary and Joseph in Jerusalem on that day, and here's a total stranger who knew nothing about them, nothing about their lives, nothing about their situation, and he stepped up and he said, your baby is special. Your baby comes from God. Your baby matters to this universe. He's a light to the Gentiles. Your baby is the transformation of this whole universe. You know, and he talks, and it mattered to them to hear those words. I think when you boil it down, some of us, God's got purpose for us to fulfill. And it might be as simple as that you rock up to church ready to bless a family, or an individual, or a newcomer, or somebody who doesn't know the Lord yet, ready to say something that might seem small to you, but will be very big to them, and ultimately might be very big in his purposes. Purpose in those hearts. Get hold of the purpose that God has for you. Second thing that flows out from that, that Simeon found in his heart when he looked there, was the right word for the right people at the right moment. The right word for the right people at the right moment. For some of us, our purpose will be about something else, but for some of us, the things that God wants to put in our hearts is very much the right word for the right people at the right moment. And I want to challenge those of us here. I want to challenge those of us who are already, we know, prophetic people who God has given prophetic gifts to. I want to lay before you the challenge in 2026 and say there are things that the Lord wants to put in your heart to share with people week by week, gathering by gathering. So it matters. It matters that you're here and you're ready to say them. It matters that you're in your Burning Hearts group or your house group or whatever and ready to bring them. It matters because the Lord wants to put in your heart those words that will come and affirm what God is doing in somebody else's life. And I'm saying it not because that will make a nice kind of church environment for us, which of course it will. I'm saying it because actually, unless we encourage each other better, people of God, we will lose sight of our purpose and what God is wanting us to do. We've got to have some better words of encouragement in the right moment, because otherwise we'll get discouraged and we'll lose our pathway. So we need to be ready to say it to each other, to say your life's not finished yet, to say you've got something to do for God. We need to be ready and to let those words be planted within us. Maybe some of us, when we look inside our hearts, we feel, I've got nothing to say for Jesus. He wants to put some words in there that you can bring for somebody else. I want to remind you of a story of someone who I've talked about before many years ago when I was at university, and I brought her along to church for the first time. And I've told this story before, I know, but it was the first time I'd been at this church because it was my first week of term at university. So I was trying out different churches. And as I sat in this church meeting, during the worship, people started to get up to prophesy at the mic. And people came forward, and the first person came forward and they started to give a word. There's somebody here who used to be a Christian, but they've fallen away from God. And I was sitting there with this friend, and I knew that that was her story. I'd only met her the day before, and she'd told me her story. And I sat there in church on Sunday morning, and people started to prophesy. And one after another, they told her story in very specific detail, some bits of it, to do with family breakup, to do with how she had lost her way in faith, to do with how she saw herself, and all things she had poured out to me the night before and the reason I'd brought her along to church with me that morning. And there must have been about four or five different people from the congregation who knew nothing about either of us who came and spoke the words that God gave them to speak for that person. And in that moment, I know she was crying beside me because she knew the words were absolutely for her. She was opening her heart to the Lord. But you know, for me, I had to get up at one point in that worship service and leave the room. I went out the back because for me, it was too much. I suddenly felt so overwhelmed by how much God loved this girl and wanted to speak to her and was doing something so dramatic and supernatural that I couldn't contrive and I couldn't make happen. And it wasn't just a nice feeling kind of word. It was so specific. And inside, I felt so humbled by it. It's like I couldn't be in the room. I was so humbled by how much God wants to speak to his people. And how much, if we're willing to listen, he'll put a word in our heart and we say it and somebody's life changes. Somebody's heart gets put right where it was in a mess before. And I was so overwhelmed by how God wants to use his people like that. I want to say it to us as a congregation. Can we listen to the words that God has got to share? Can we prophesy in 2026? Can we be confident to do it? Can we not worry so much? We've got a good system and an order here in the church. You come to the meeting leader, you come to one of the leaders, you can share your word and say, does this fit? Can we bring this in? And we can do it because there might be somebody sitting there that needs to hear that word that's going to change their life. Words for the right people at the right moment. And finally, what was in their hearts? Well, in Anna's heart, it opens up. And there's just a whole load of worship and joy and hope and testimony that starts to spill forth. It says Anna saw that baby and she came forth. And a whole load of worship, praise to God and testimony to the people spilled out. What was in her heart? A lot of worship, a lot of joy, a lot of hope, the needed releasing for other people. And I'm so struck by Anna because her heart could have been full of something else, couldn't it? When you tap it, what might have fallen out and spilled over, it could have been all kinds of sad things. It could have been a lot of bitterness, couldn't it? When you think about her situation, it would be very natural and very understandable, and we would all understand it. She could have been very embittered. She had 7 years of marriage, then her husband died, and she lived the rest of her life as a widow. It doesn't sound like she had children or family because it seems that she gave her life to serving in the temple and working in that way. She could have been bemoaning her shattered dreams, her losses, the things that she could have had, that other people had, all the hopes of a life she was going to build that now look very different. She could have had all that in there. Disappointment, loss, sorrow, resentment, anger, self-pity. And sometimes when our hearts get tipped, what's spilling out is those things. And it's understandable, but the Lord wants us to see it, to look and see what's in our heart, and then to give it to him so that he can start to fill it and refill it with something beautiful, like what came forth from Anna, with something that is full of hope and worship and joy, and that releases those things in other people. I wonder how she got her heart into such a good state. It may not have been like that for all those 84 years, but I think it's probably to do with her serving and her fasting and her praying, that as she did that faithfully before the Lord, it purged out the self-pity or the bitterness or the sadness, detoxed the heart, and what flowed in was what was beautiful to flow out. So let's close. Let's just pray together for a moment. I want to ask us a couple of questions as we pray. What's in your heart? What do you see as you look in there? What does the Lord Jesus want to show you that you didn't realize was there? For that man of the demonized boy, it was unbelief. Jesus came along and suddenly he shouted out, "I do believe, help my unbelief. I didn't realize how much my heart was full of it. Now I see, help my unbelief." Maybe he wants to show you something you didn't realize was there. And what does the Lord Jesus want to give you? For some of us, it's fresh purpose, clarity about what it is we're doing for him this year, maybe beyond. For some of us, he wants to put some words of life to give to others. For some of us, it's streams of worship and joy and hope and blessing. He wants to fill our hearts with that anew. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that this is your work, Lord. The work in our hearts. It's your work. It's what you love to do. Lord, we wouldn't always want to think about our hearts too much, but you do. And I pray at the start of this year that you will come and cleanse our hearts and renew our hearts and open our hearts and put things in there that you want to see there and take things out that you want to remove. Help us, Lord, to do heart business with you. Lord, we have so many opportunities, but I pray we will take this one now to receive what you've got for us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let your living word abide in me so richly as I abide in you. Let your living word abide in me.